Good morning. My name is Rod Smith. I worship with the congregation in LaRonde, Louisiana. And I'm very grateful this morning for the life-changing, powerful hope of the gospel. And that there is a Lord that can make that hope a reality, and whosoever will. Jesus made that promise that whosoever would come and drink could be saved. And I'm so thankful for that today. I'm humbled to present some of the hope of the gospel today. And I desire your prayers. That's not a formality. Pray that the Lord will help me keep my eyes on Jesus and not the wind and the waves. I'd like a little bit of your time, if you will, and your attention. We heard a song last night that was sung about a river. It said, there is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain. Can somebody sing that chorus? You know that chorus, Renee? There is a river. Somebody? Believe in the river this morning?
Yes.
Is there more than one river like that? Can you find a variety of rivers that work like that? Maybe there's a way to add something to the water. What do you think? Can we add some additive to the water so that it purifies me a little better? What do you think? No. Just one throne. Do we believe that today? We sing a song that says the church has one foundation. Do you still believe that? It, or maybe there's multiple foundations. Maybe we can build on this foundation, but perhaps, you know, based on what my life is, maybe there could be an adjacent foundation. Maybe we could build over two foundations. It's not a monolithic pour. Two foundations. Can we do that? We can, but is that where life will be found? It's not. It's not where life will be found. The message this morning is that we explore our hearts and our lives as to what foundation we're building our lives on, what water we're drinking of. Written on the board behind me, what house will you build me? And I've underlined the word you. What house will you build me? I'd like to start this morning in the third chapter of Revelation and the 13th verse. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Did you notice who the message was preached to? It was preached not to unbelievers, but it was preached to the church. And I believe this morning that in the fear of God, I'm preaching to the church. That is my burden this morning, is to the church, not unbelievers. And did you notice that the Lord didn't ask here if they were cold or hot? He said, I know your works. And he said, you're not cold and you're not hot. You're not cold. You don't have something that is cool and refreshing and a cold drink of water on a hot day. That's not what you have. You don't have something to offer that goes beyond lukewarm or ambient. You're not hot. You don't have any healing virtue that's moving through your life by the grace of God. You don't have anything that is soothing, invigorating, but you're lukewarm. Blend in. Fluctuate with change. No real power to overcome the influence that you may feel in front of you, behind you, beside you. And oftentimes, spiritually speaking this morning, as people, this can be a dangerous place. Rich and increased with goods, and I guess I have need of nothing. I fit in. The same is on the right as the left, in front of me, behind me. Rich and increased with goods, maybe have need of nothing. And again, I notice here that the Lord did not ask anything about their works or reasoning or explanation. He simply said, I know your works. It wasn't up for discussion. He just simply said, you're lukewarm. I remember several years ago, I was pulled over by a state trooper on the freeway. And I saw the lights behind me, and so I pulled over, and I guess it's human. I started thinking about what I was going to say, how I was going to respond. Reasons, explanation, or rebuttals to what he might say. And so I was ready, and I was sitting behind the wheel and patiently waiting for him. And he arrived, and I rolled my window down, and he was the most pleasant, assured officer of the law that you could run into. And he said, if you'll give me your license and your insurance, he said, I'll be right back with you. He said, I'll try to get you on your way just as quickly as I can. so that you can go to the place that you are going. And I thought, well, this doesn't sound so bad at all. And he's not asking anything. He's not saying anything. Sounds like I'm not in a whole lot of trouble. So I happily gave him my stuff, and he went back. And sure enough, he came back pretty quick, and I was ready for a warning to be on my way. And he most assuredly handed me a really big ticket and sent me on my way so I could get home and get to whatever I was doing just as quickly as possible. And I thought, he didn't even ask me any questions. I didn't even have a chance to, and I didn't agree with what he gave me. I was not in agreement with what he said I was doing. But he never asked. He just said, this is. Do you know there's coming a time? There is coming a time when we're going to meet our Maker. And there is going to be no discussion. There is going to be no opportunity. The Lord is not going to say, Rod, it looked like this is what you were doing, but maybe I missed something. It is going to be, I know thy works. And he's going to move on. And so am I into eternity. And I'm going to have no opportunity anymore after that to say anything. It just will be. And here the Lord said to the church, I know your works and you're lukewarm. That's what he said. How did this happen to the church? I don't know completely. But perhaps they became more concerned. Perhaps they were more taken with being accepted by other church members than they were interested in being led by the Spirit of God. This is the church that the angel is speaking to, not unbelievers. Perhaps they were too caught up in comparing themselves among themselves. Maybe they had too great a sense of security by being separate from the world. I don't know. But I know this. That it's not where peace is found. It was going to require more than being separate from the world. It is going to require more from us than to be accepted by God's people. It is going to be required more of us than to have good religious form. Good practices. Things that we would want. It's going to take more than that, folks. And don't misunderstand me. I want to be separate from the world. I don't want to be living my life so that I'm like the world. Say, well, so then if the world switches, you'll switch just to be different. No, that's not what that means. All that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the Scripture said it's not of God, it's of the world. And he defined what the world is. That's why we preach and we teach that there's a separation. There's a reason that there's a separation. They can become idols. They are not righteous. They're not. It's not godly to go after the things of the world where it becomes about me, myself, and I, and the world, and the pleasures. The Lord has a plan that goes beyond me. It should be about him. I don't want to be like the world. I agree with that. I want to be accepted by God's people. I don't want you to look at me and say, well, that's Rod, you know, he's not really one of us. I want you to accept me as part of the fellowship of God's people. And further than that, I don't want you to view me as a second-class Christian. Well, accept him, but that's Rod. I want you to accept me as somebody that's all in for Jesus Christ. I want that. I want to have good spiritual form in my life. I want to have practices in my life. You know, not all ruts are bad. Some ruts are not good. But some things that we get in a practice of every day, we get out of bed, we live our life, and we do the right thing for the right reasons, and that's just what we do. Good practices. I want that. But it's going to take more than that. And the five foolish virgins found that out in very sobering fashion. The virgin, five virgins, and the Lord came back and they realized, we don't have any oil. We're empty. There's something we're missing. We're accepted by the five wise. We're doing the things that they're doing on the outside. We have good form. We're separate from the world, but they found that they were out of oil, and the Lord came back at a time unexpected. And it was time to go out and meet Him. And so they went out. And do you know where it said that they went to find oil? Who did they turn to first? They turned to other people. They turned to says, "Can we get some of your oil? We cannot live off of other people's oil. We cannot live our lives and be and have the life that river is intended to bring us, to flow through us. It doesn't flow through other people. And then as long as I get close to them and look like them and accepted by them and live like them in an outward way, that I have the oil of the Holy Spirit living in my life. It takes more than that. And these people here, the ten virgins, they didn't have that. And I wonder, are we any different? Are you any different than the five foolish virgins? Do you have something more than form? Do you have something more than being separate from the world? Do you have something more than just being accepted as a saint in good standing? We're going to have something more than that. The Lord wants you to have a personal experience with Him. The Lord wants you to live a life where you are connected to the vine, and that the power of His Holy Spirit is working in and through you. A dynamic relationship. It's going to have to be more than about people. Amen. We read a scripture posed, a question is posed by Isaiah, really the Lord, but Isaiah wrote it, the 66th chapter, we don't need to turn there. And it was repeated by Stephen to a religious people that appeared to be consumed with themselves in a lot of ways and perhaps felt like they were of the number that were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and yet in the process, they were taking Stephen's life. I'd like to read a little bit of that in the 7th chapter of Acts. Maybe we'll read a few verses of it. Stephen here was before the council and the high priest. And it says in the 48th verse, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or where, what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." These were a people that, in large part, were separated from the world. They were accepted by each other. They had a lot of form. They had a lot of religious form, a lot of which, no doubt, was good, that we would do well to do again today, living a careful life. And yet, Stephen said, in the fear of the Lord, he said, "You are a stiff-necked in heart You're resistors of the Holy Spirit. And they were in the process of taking his life. I don't want to do that, folks. I don't want to live my life where I am so consumed with being separate from the world, accepted by God's people, and having good form only, that in the process I contribute to lost lives of souls because they are not pointed to Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. I don't want to do that. What house will you build me? And that captures my burden today. Are we open to hearing what God has to say to us personally? Are we most concerned about knowing what doth the word of the Lord say? Or are we stiff-necked? Do we ever resist the leadings of the Holy Spirit? Is it possible that we're so fixated on a house that was built by somebody else that we want to be so much like somebody else that we lose sight of the Holy Spirit that is trying to lead us? I don't want to be found in that number because I need something more than that. Is it possible? That our resistance to change from the right or the left, and I'm not speaking politically, perhaps we live a very sacrificial life. Perhaps we are apt to find how close we can live to the ways of the world. And is it possible that our resistance to change is more rooted in pride, stubbornness, deception, self-will, than it is that we have our lives founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ? What house will you build me? We must each one seek personally to be in the presence of the Lord. We must each one give our lives where we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. It must mean more to us than anything else. The Lord wants us to be alive. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want the Holy Spirit to work in and through my life so that I can experience the life that comes from this river. God wants me to personally invest in that gold that is tried in the fire. The Lord wants me personally to be fit and clothed with His righteousness, fitted for me personally by the Lord. The Lord wants my eyes to be anointed by the eye salve of the Holy Spirit. My eyes. He doesn't want me just to depend on everybody else. Yes, I live off the fruit of other people's lives. No, the Lord is not wanting us to be isolationists. No, He's not asking us to withdraw, but He wants us to be in touch with Him. Else, we miss out. I don't want to end up in the end with just a shell that with time begins to crumble, begins to fade, and at the wrong time, like the five foolish virgins, find out that I am empty of oil. Do you have oil today? Do you have something more in your life than these things that will allow you to be accepted by those sitting beside you? What happens if somebody else's life crumbles and falls? What happens if their house falls? Will your house fall? Will it move you so much that you're left without if those around you fall? Did you know that the Lord has a house that He wants you to live in, that is built for you? He has some windows and some rooms and some doors, and He has some safeties that are built in for you. He has some liberties for you, all of which are founded upon the Word of God, that when the storm comes, your house can be left standing. The question remains in verse 49, what house will you build me? And certainly central to that question is the point that we can't possibly build a house on our own. For one whose throne is the heavens and whose footstool is the earth. I believe that is part of the point of that question. What house are you going to build me? This is all mine. What are you going to do? And we can't in our own. It's not possible. And yet at the same time, the Scriptures also tells us that know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And if any man defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are. What responsibility. What privilege. But also what responsibility do we have? Jesus himself spoke of how to build a house. And he talked about the wise man and the foolish man that went to build a house. And he said that the wise man was one that came and did three things. He came to where the Word of God was. We need to come where the Word of God is, folks. It's still important to go to church. It's still important to have a private place of prayer and study and meditation. He came to where the Word of the Lord was. And it said he heard. You got to do more than just come to church. You got to do more than just show up and sit in your pew and be counted. It's going to take more than just being seen by brother and sister so-and-so that they were at church. They were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There's some of the faithful. You can count on them. They're always there. But it's going to take more than that. The Lord said that the wise man was the one that came and heard. He came for a purpose. Came for a purpose that went beyond being seen. Came for a purpose that went beyond being accepted. Came for a purpose to hear what doth say the word of the Lord. But then the Lord said there was something else that he did. He came, he heard, and what did he do next? He dug. He acted. Folks, we are not going to get to heaven by having a lot of knowledge of the Scripture. We're not going to make it by having a lot of history with the saints. We are not going to make it to heaven because we can sit across the table from somebody and be able to quote Scripture and verse. We are going to have to dig and lay our foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ. We're going to have something that goes beyond people. We're going to have something that goes beyond form. We're going to have something that goes beyond being separate from the world. We are going to have to be a people that are willing to buy an invest of gold tried in the fire. We're going to have to be willing to dig and dig deep, as the Lord said. He dug, but he didn't just dig, he dig deep. We have to be willing to dig until we get past ourselves. We have to dig past ourselves. We have to dig past the hard places. Oh, so often we come and we come and we hear and we come to an altar of prayer and so then we begin to dig and then it starts getting hard. It was like, whoa, I just landed on a spot that pretty hard. It looks like I found something. Keep digging. Dig, pack, get the pry bar out. Get the pickaxe out by the Holy Spirit. Get whatever you need to keep digging until you get down to bedrock. We've got to get past ourselves. We've got to get past our reputation. We have to get past form. We have to get past our insecurities. We have to get to the place of humility where we're willing to come and lay ourselves on the altar. Lord, here I am. I need you. Lord, help me understand what stands in the way of my life and you, that I don't get to the end of the way and the door is closed and I find myself on the wrong side of the door because I had no oil. I had form. I was separate from the world. I was accepted by God's people. I lived in a neighborhood where my house looked like the houses that were around me. But for some reason, the death angel came and it did not pass over my house because I did not have the blood of Jesus on my life. I didn't dig. I didn't get myself to the place where I had my own personal house with the foundation built on Jesus Christ. Let us never lose sight that our foundation is built on the Word of God. And the Word of God is the same for every person. We do not have the luxury, if I can say it that way, to change or modify the Word of God. It isn't going to work for me to say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed to me that I need to adopt chapter X, verse Y in my life. I just don't feel convicted. The Holy Spirit just hasn't led me to do that. The Holy Spirit has already sent you the Word of God. The Word of God cannot be changed or modified to fit my life or my desires. Personal standards, personal convictions that are maybe outside of doctrine that the Scriptures bear out for each and every person, perhaps. Lord, give us understanding of these things. Lord, help me not to use these truths to live according to the flesh. Lord, help me not to use these truths to try to find a place where I feel like I'm more spiritual than others. Lord, help me not to take my own personal standards and convictions and turn them into Bible doctrine, if that's not what they are. Jesus himself said in the 15th chapter of Matthew, "But in vain do they worship me." In vain do they worship me. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And it said he called the multitudes and said unto them, "Hear and understand." And he had more to say to them about that. Folks, the message this morning is to be very clear. It is not to discount at all the experience of faith of those that have gone before us. At all. Lest the enemy take advantage of this message. This message is not that the faith of other people and their lives and their influence should be discounted or is not worth anything. Lord, help us with fear and trembling that we not casually and carelessly cast aside the seeds that are sown by people of God. However, in conjunction with this, the Lord wants our experience to be a very personal experience that is for you. Your name, your social security number, your birth date, your address, your life, your address built on Jesus Christ. Is your builder and maker God today? Are you personally living more for the design of the houses that are around you than getting in contact with Jesus Christ? Understand that the design of lives and temples around you, what they let in, what they keep out, where they are located, it may be exactly right for you. That all may be right. But remember, grace comes from Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ is where we can get and find grace. I want grace in my life. I don't want to be empty. The unity of faith does not just mean that everybody looks, that their lives look exactly the same in every respect. It wouldn't work if we went to countries all over the world. I believe that was mentioned the other day. The unity of faith does not just mean that. It means that all of us, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, that we believe in Jesus Christ, that we believe into Jesus Christ, where we are willing to adopt the Word of God in its fullness in our lives and be led by the Holy Spirit. We can build a whole subdivision of houses that look very much the same. Good form, looks like a good design. But if the Lord were to come through and He were to look around and He looked at our lives and He said, which one of these is mine? I don't want to be in the place where I say, well, Lord, this is my summer house and this is my winter house, and well, this over here in my life is for so-and-so, and this over here is for so-and-so. I want to live my life so that when Jesus Christ comes calling, He finds me living in the house that is built on a foundation from the Word of God, inspired by His Holy Spirit. I'm sober today by the story of Gideon, where many were called, but few were chosen. They started out with 32,000. And they went to do battle. And the Lord looked at it and He said, this is not going to bring me glory. All of those who are fearful, you can go home. All of those who really don't want to do this. This is not who you are. This is not where your heart is. You're free to go. And the majority of them went home. I believe 22,000. 22,000. Got down to 10,000. And I believe this morning that we're probably all, hopefully here, at least a subset of that 10,000. We're believers. We're willing to go. We'll go fight. But the Lord looked down and He said, there's something more that I'm looking for. And I just wonder if when they went to drink from the water, I wonder if there was some that as they got ready to drink that they remembered, there is a battle that we are in, and I need to be at the ready. And I've been taught by the Word of God, if you'll allow me, that I need to keep my weapons in my hand. I can't just turn away and stick my head in the water and drink. And yet I wonder if it's as they were thinking that, they went down to drink, weapons in one hand, maybe lap like a dog to get some water out of their other hand. If they looked to the right and there was somebody that was willing to go fight, that had their head in the water. Well, is that okay to do that? I thought, and they looked to the other side and they had their head in the water, just drinking. And they looked, it was like, well, maybe that's okay. I'll be accepted. Nobody's going to kick me out for doing this. There's already been a separation. They already went home. These are the people who are willing to go. And I look and they're drinking like this. And so I wonder how many said, that's good enough for me. Rich and increased with goods and maybe have need of nothing. But there was some that weren't willing to do that. Do you want to be part of the 300 this morning? You know, the way that the math of God works is that there is going to be an innumerable company of people that are part of that 300 that are going to make it. That are going to have lived their lives in the way that the Lord wants us to live. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord desires for you to have a life that is built and founded on the Word of God, confirmed by His Holy Spirit, personal standards and convictions that are revealed to your heart by the Spirit of God to help you live within the bounds of Bible truth so that you can stand regardless of the storm that comes. Do you have that today? That's what I want. Oh, may God help us pray. Lord, what would you have me to do? And be willing to do it. Yes, there's a time and a place to imitate and to follow the example of others. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It wasn't that the child was doing something they weren't supposed to do. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to do as a child. But there came a time, and there comes a time for all of us, when you're going to have your own house. Can't live in somebody else's house with your name out front. You're going to have your own house, your own address. It's going to be time to become a man. It's going to be come time to step out and have your own house. Quick personal testimony. I remember when I moved out of the house. I was 18 years old and went to live on campus and 60 miles away or so from church and about that from home. And I remember being in a setting really quickly where I recognized that this is not what the Bible teaches. This beside me, this in front and behind me, this what is being presented is not what the Bible teaches. But Mom and Dad aren't here. And Julie and Michael weren't there. They weren't going to know what I did. Brother Clifford Wilson, Brother Ed's dad, he was our pastor. He wasn't there. In fact, I lived a long ways from anybody. This was not a small southern town. This was Eugene, Oregon. And no one knew what I was doing. Sat there, and by the grace of God, I decided, I'm out of here. I'm going to build my own house. Regardless of what Julie and Michael and Mom and Dad and Brother Clifford Wilson and And he used to tell me, I'd go to church, and Brother Clifford would look at me many times, and he'd say, boy, he'd say, I'm counting on you. Over and over. That's what he'd tell me. Boy, counting on you. But there came a time when I had to build my own house. And that was a turning point, in a sense, that I look back on. I started completely separate to get down and hit rock. It's right and it's good when you're in Father's house to follow the example of your parents that are godly people. It's Bible. It's right. Young people, don't buy in to the world today that says you're just as important, you are just as important, but you have a place when you're in the home to be obedient, to be submissive. It's right and good to do that, to live in Father's house, eat from his table, benefit from what he has. People say, what's your address? Back then, 4795 Gardner Road, Southeast Salem, Oregon. That's my address. But there came a time I was going to have my own address. Do you have yours? What's your address? How possibly can we have power in our lives if we don't believe for ourselves what it is that we profess? How possibly in our lives can we have any power and peace without the Holy Spirit living within us? It's not possible. Before we close, I want to say this. Spiritual scarcity so often becomes a reality when you live your life, an effort to live your life from the abundance of somebody else's life. Yes, we live off of each other's lives. But if that's all, and we just live our lives so that we're separate from the world, we're accepted by God's people, we are living with some good form, things we ought to do. If that constitutes our life, you're going to have spiritual scarcity in your life. And you're going to come to services and you're going to hear the word of the Lord preached and you're going to hear about the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And you're going to sit there and you're going to think, man, I'm not like the world. I'm trying to do the best I can. And I'm living, got good form and the people accept it. I just don't have that peace. I just feel like I'm missing something. The Lord has something for you that goes beyond spiritual scarcity. If that's the city that you're in, the city of spiritual scarcity, relocate cities. Relocate. The Lord has a better place for you, whose builder and maker is God. Give yourself to understanding the word of the Lord for yourself. Say, well, preacher, what does that mean? What are we supposed to do? It was never intended to be complicated. Give yourself to the word of the Lord. Ask his Holy Spirit to fill you in your life. Rest on his promises. Have faith in what he has said. Be honest with yourself and with God. Be honest with yourself and with God. Don't try to cover up. Come in all honesty and dig until you find. Dig past yourself. You just living for yourself today? Do you live away from the world and good form, and to be accepted by the people of God for yourself? That gets close if you think about it very long. Tonight, this morning, are you hot? Cold? Do you have power in your life that goes beyond ambient? Or is it possible that you're living your life at just kind of ambient temperature, where if you're accepted, you're kind of okay with that? Or maybe you feel lukewarm and you haven't quite put your finger on why. Jesus came back at one point and he said, "I'm going to say I never knew you. People that did good things, I never had a relationship with you." Daniel told Belshazzar, "You knew all of this. You had it. You knew it. But you've been weighed in the balance and you've been found wanting." It does not have to be that way. The Lord doesn't want it to be that way. Is it possible that we need a little bit more oversight from the builder and maker that is God? If we are not connected to the vine, no matter how good it looks, it's going to die. It isn't going to last. But if we are connected to the vine, it will change the way you think. It will change the spirit that is within you. It will change the way that you act. It will give you a place at the table of God in His kingdom, and you will find a lamp at your feet and a light unto your path. The writer in Hebrews, speaking of Abraham, said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That was his cause. What is your cause this morning? I believe that the Lord has more for many today. He has more than a scarcity spiritual experience. He has something that will be like a river of life that flows in and through you and out. That when the Lord comes back, you can be found in peace. This morning, the question continues to echo down through the ages. What house will you build me? And there are two questions this morning that hang on either side of this question that have gone unsaid so far. And that is, what house have you built? What house are you building? Don't be afraid to change. Don't be afraid of drastic change. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.